AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in, friendos. It is In This League right here on Sports Grid, the Mightier 1090. It's a holiday week special. There's holidays and days off and shopping and there's stuff. There's lots of things. And speaking of stuff, that is me. I am the Welsh. That is the Bogman. And, you know, Boggs, I have been restricting the eating and working out a bit, but there was lots to let go on this Thanksgiving weekend and lots of food to consume.
That's right. Let me ask you something. Do you prefer, we were talking about this on Monday Night Football with Bogman, earlier in the week. Big Thanksgiving with a lot of guests,
okay,
or small Thanksgiving with very few guests?
That's a great question. Okay, it's hard to answer because I would say this. Almost all of my holidays have always been small.
Right.
Back when I lived in California, I probably had bigger ones, but it was always relatively small. Me and my mom. And then when I, you know, got married, it'd be like me, my wife, and my mom, and then the kids, and, you know, they'd pop in. But my most memorable holiday was one where it was my entire family. It was a Christmas, but it was everybody coming in for Christmas.
All of the Welshes. Never see.
All of the Welshes from all over the land coming in. And that was awesome, but I don't think I'd like that every single year. So I'm going to say a small Thanksgiving. I took up all the time there, Bogman, but what say you?
Small Thanksgiving, I prefer for sure. It's just easier that way to me. Plus, I don't have to share the leftovers. I mean, come on. It's just way, way easier to do it
that
way.
It's easier to escape, though, a little bit when it's bigger. You can kind of blend into the background.
That's true. And I have been, like, my mom's best friend when, you know, I was a kid living in Houston, she would have the whole community in. I mean, I'm talking 75 people for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Sounds like the worst thing I've ever heard.
It was so many people. It's like a block party. It was ridiculous. So
I remember doing this one Thanksgiving thing. I won't get into the details of it, but it was like at this restaurant. And we waited in this line, and the line was so long, and it took forever. And then everybody sat out in this parking lot, and I was like, the idea is cool. This is horrible. So at the end of the day, sit me in a room alone with, some Thanksgiving stuff and some White Russians, and I'm good to go. We got to go to break. When we come back, we got 3 hours of In This League. Don't go anywhere. It's Bogman Welsh, Irreverence, football, baseball, basketball, a whole bunch more. In This League's coming back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
In This League is on Patreon. You can find us patreon.com/ITL Army for all the fun stuff. Early baseball ranks, we got them. Live streams during the football games with Bogman, we got them. Group me rooms and so much more. Hey, you've been watching The Mandalorian? We got a breakdown podcast we do every single Monday on that as well. That and more over at patreon.com/ITL Army. $5 gets you a ton of it. You want to upgrade a little bit further? You're going to get more perks. And it's a perfect time in the season. If you want to wait till December at the beginning of the month, you can do that. But hey, why wait? Jump in now. patreon.com/ITL Army. Come support your boys today. We are back. You can find us on Twitter at Is It Welsh, at Bogman Sports. That is us. And Bogman brought a story to light to me, which I think
it's a story
has...
of inspiration, the Welsh.
Okay. That's that. It has a lot of legs, but it harkened up it harkens up a million different questions of what audience are you speaking to? And why don't you tell this really inspirational football story? I mean, strap in, everybody. Get some tissues. If you're ready to run through a brick wall, we've got this inspirational NFL story for you.
In a world where your team has a chance at the playoffs, but has a really bad record in team. No, this story is Mike McCarthy inspiring his team, and they beat the Vikings. And I didn't pick them straight up. I did pick them against the spread for last week, and it was a very interesting game, to say the least. And the Cowboys did earn my respect by pushing my Steelers to the limit, of course. And everybody knows the Cowboys are better than what they've been playing. I mean, they have good players on this roster, and they've been playing terribly. But I guess the night before the game, to inspire the troops, Mike McCarthy said, "You know what, guys? I don't think I've been clear enough on what our goals need to be." And then someone rolled out a bunch of watermelons, which, what? What is happening here? And so he either taped or wrote.
It's a dicey story to start off with.
It is. Well, you know, most of the time with Cowboys and watermelon, you're talking about that kick. They call it the watermelon kick or whatever. I don't know why that the onside kick where they beat the Falcons. So just look it up. Look it up on Twitter or Google or whatever. Look up.
Okay, so a whole barrage of watermelons gets
bunch
rolled
of
out
watermelons.
From Mike McCarthy.
And he said, "We want to knock the S out of Dalvin Cook and make him fumble that ball." And he puts the watermelon up on a table and smashes it Gallagher style. And
did he have a sledgehammer?
Yes. The fruit went everywhere. And the players are eating it up. They love it. They love it.
Literally eating it up.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
No. I'm inspired. All this seeds.
Maybe Zeke had that, you know, cereal thing going on. I don't know. But you remember Gallagher had the splash zone, too, where everyone had the rain parkas and all that.
Here's my problem with the story. I remember there's no chance anyone under 32 knew what was happening there. Like, I'm amazed there weren't Instagram lives. That was my point to the beginning of the story, is what's the audience you're speaking to? If he just wanted to take the bit and smash some watermelons, these guys are like, "This is great. Why has nobody ever smashed watermelons before?"
He wrote something or had something taped to these watermelons that they, an objective in the game, you know, whatever, turnovers, complete whatever percentage of
third down. If this was Greg Williams, he would have just put the other players' faces on the watermelons. We're going to kill him!
He would have shot the watermelon with a gun. So,
but my point before was like, I guess it's
not Plexico.
Yeah. Well, then it'd be his leg, but shoot himself.
Yeah.
It'd be like Ray Carruth if it was the other one.
Put the watermelon in a trunk.
We're not in serious yet. But what I'm getting at is like, what was it, the statement of the watermelon, or was Mike McCarthy like
action?
No, but was Mike McCarthy like, wow, I've got to get these guys on my side. What better than to repeat a bit that they'll all know in Gallagher and Smashing Watermelons?
Well, that's like, the thing, though. I don't think any of them know about Gallagher.
Nobody.
They're all so young.
Maybe an offensive lineman, a 34-year-old offensive lineman might have known. Some of the coaches might have known. There's
maybe
no,
the kicker, right.
Dude, there's no chance that CeeDee Lamb has ever heard of Gallagher. Doesn't know
if they know who
Gallagher
is. It's because they watched the Chappelle show. Remember when he did the fake Gallagher bit? Y'all want to see me smash some fruit?
But you know what? You don't want to know what? I'll bet you more people were like, that's the Dave Chappelle bit than it is the Gallagher bit.
Exactly. So I just, this was so funny. I don't think this is something that would ever inspire me, the Gallagher bit, but he did it.
How is there no video? How did no players have an Instagram live or something? As
there, I assume at some point there'll be a video for it. I mean, they had to be, you know, they're the Cowboys. They had to be recording some, you know, behind the scenes something for 3 years from now or something. Like, I think we'll definitely see the footage of this come out.
I'm pretty sure they turn those cameras off after like week five or something.
Well, yeah, then maybe they should have. But
it's nothing but articles. There's no. How is there no video? It's nothing but memes of actual Gallagher smashing the actual pumpkin.
So you know the whole Gallagher story, right? How like the original Gallagher had this comedy bit where he smashes the fruit and he smashes everything, and the people lost it. And then you know he has an identical twin brother. Who he sold his act to, right?
I don't know if you know this. Yeah, I know. I've heard that. I actually have a friend that was the opener for Gallagher for about a year or two.
I met Gallagher.
You met Gallagher, really? Famous superstar Gallagher.
I can't tell you whether it was the original Gallagher or the second Gallagher, but he came through my grocery store when I worked there when I was in high school.
Was he wearing like all the
produce?
No, he was not buying the watermelon.
I swear to God, the produce at the grocery store. And there was, it was during the day. I remember it was the sun because I didn't work during the day, you know, in normal times because I was in school. I was in high school. So, and I was a bagger, and we had a guy with syndrome that was bad. And the guy,
that
you know,
what?
The guy
that had what syndrome? You broke up a little bit there.
Down syndrome. And he was, you know, and he was bagging this Gallagher, and Gallagher made fun of him for like, you know, I don't know, packing properly in there. And I'm mad. And he's like, yeah, I guess you don't hire the sharpest tools here to do all this. I'm like, no, audience, he's got to get out of here early because he's going to your show. So I slammed Gallagher. So that was, I mean, it just couldn't be more rude. I couldn't believe what I almost lost another $100. I can't believe.
You can't afford it, Bachman.
Yeah, I know. I can't afford anything right now. I couldn't believe what a big jerk. Like I said, have no idea if it was Gallagher 1 or Gallagher 2 who it was, but it was.
Was there like a true transfer of power in Gallagher? Like, did everybody know, or was it like they were so identical that the Gallaghers just,
They're identical twins. I think the difference was one of them shaved his head. And I remember this bit because I remember watching. I used to stay up late on Saturday nights with a kid in Houston and watch the stand-up comics. And Gallagher was there one time, and he pulled his hat off, and he was completely bald because he had like a, he had a hat on with fake hair, his brother. So when his hat off, I think they knew it was other Gallagher. And then
that's right. That's so. That's pretty. That's pretty trippy and interesting. And I mean, I don't
Gallagher
know where.
Jerk.
Yeah, I guess so. We learned Gallagher is a jerk, and we learned that Mike McCarthy sure does know that audience. And what better way to rally up the troops than take a good old late 80s, early 90s bit and bring it to them. But at the end of the day, smashing anything.
Would that inspire you, fruit? I mean,
no, I don't think so. I mean, I do like things being blown up. I remember going to a science back when you could go to places in human life. I remember
act with human being.
Yeah, went to like a science museum and they blew up a pumpkin and it was the best thing. It was the best part of my day. So things blowing up is generally a good space, but something to talk about. We got to go to break. We come back. We can talk about if that's inspiring and a whole bunch more. Don't go anywhere. More in this league coming back.
Y'all want to see me smash some fruit?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league,
this is the way. Stop touching things.
Welcome back, friendos. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid. If you missed any of the action, you can always catch us on the podcast. Maybe you're listening there and you already know this, but all 3 hours available for you, whether you want to catch up with what Bubba's got to say, what nuttiness we're talking about, and all of our other shows are also available on any podcast platform, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can just go and type it In This League and you will find all the stuff. You might have to do a little bit more searching for the Prospect Podcast or say the college football stuff. But again, you can look us up and find us pretty easy. Most likely, usually those things where it's like, you know, if you subscribe to this podcast, here's others that subscribe to podcasts similar. That's where they would all go. So all the podcasts live there. Don't miss any of the action. So do you think, like, we're talking about the Mike McCarthy smashing watermelon. I mean, again, you know, you think of like top five.
It just sounds so ridiculous.
But you think of like top five ultimate motivational times, like what? Vince Lombardi, big motivator. I'm trying to think of who other, like, the big motivational.
Other coaches.
I don't even know really who they all, like, were, but.
Lou Holtz is pretty good. Lou Holtz, first you need to find something to do. By the way, he had COVID. Lou Holtz did.
I mean, how could
I think he's okay now?
How could anybody? I couldn't understand him. How did he get on TV for? I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but like, how was he on television?
What are you trying to say?
For so long, when
people understand what I'm saying, you want to be happy, eat a steak.
He sounded like he was a cartoon duck. Like, he did not sound like a person. I didn't understand 3/4 of what came out of his mouth. And that guy was on television for, what, like 10 years?
Yeah. Yeah, he was on TV for a long time.
How's it possible?
Long time. I don't know. I get he's a big personality. And he coached at, Notre Dame, one of the biggest colleges in the country. That's got to be what it was.
I guess. I don't know. But, you know, when you think about, like, the all-time motivators, you could go through multiple sports and stuff like that, or the motivating moments, you know, there's the halftime speeches and stuff. And whenever I think of halftime speeches, I go back and think of that ridiculous Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday. Like, if I'm a player, I don't know if I'm jumping through a wall or jumping off of a building if I see my coach do that. Like, I just don't, I don't know what the illicit, what, like, he showed his, his pass. He's just like, hey, this is how I'm going to connect with the players. I'm going to smash watermelons.
Yeah. I mean, it worked. So you got to give him credit for that, right?
Did it work?
They won.
I guess, but were they like, yeah, watermelon?
Yeah, you know, everything that I've read was the response was incredible. Like the players loved it. The players loved because he put an objective, you know, get 5 sacks, get 3 turnovers, run for 100 yards, like all of that stuff. He put on the watermelons before he smashed it, and they loved it, and they won the game. So you got to give him a little credit as far as that goes, right?
I mean, you know what this is like to me? This is like, you know that it's something dog or whatever, the dude that was on the skateboard drinking the cranberry juice to the Fleetwood Mac song?
Oh, the guy with the like the feather tattoo on his head, that guy?
I don't know. He just the dude who...
The guy on YMH that Christina P. loves. So.
Yeah, exactly. He literally became famous for riding on his skateboard, drinking cranberry juice, singing the ba-da-ba-da, the Fleetwood Mac song. And that song flew up the charts because of that TikTok. And then this guy... like became famous. Like he's like sitting around with Snoop Dogg and he's in commercials and Fleetwood Mac is railing in the money. This is like Mike McCarthy's version. Like all of a sudden the streaming numbers of Gallagher comedy shows are going to go up because all the players are going to be like, I got to see some more watermelons get smashed. This is great. Like this is going to be the thing, you know, guys are like headphones on. They're listening to podcasts or they're listening to music before they're getting all pumped up for a game. All the dudes are going to just be listening to Gallagher smash watermelons before a football game to get going. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it is really. I mean, what would inspire you? What do you think a coach could say? I mean, we're both, you know, 37 and jaded.
Super jaded.
So maybe none of that would work for us. But, like, what do you think a coach could do to inspire you? Is it, like, money only? Like, hey, look, 100 grand extra for everybody.
I mean, Greg Williams might have had a point just putting bounties on everything. Like, that's a way to ultimately inspire them. I mean, me at this point, probably money. I don't know. Just like be fired up. Don't be a total piece of garbage. And like, just find some motivational sayings. I'd rather you be hokey with your sayings, you know, like we don't try, we do, like stuff like that. Like I don't need theatrics. I don't need a puppet show. I don't need a warm up. And then I don't need smashing watermelons. I mean, if anything, if we were struggling, it might help because I might be like, I might come out of the locker room like, what just happened? Like, wait, what did we just see? That's how I would come out of the locker room. But I just don't know how much I would be laughing. It might loosen me up a little bit, but I don't think it's going to make me want to run through a wall and play better. Yeah. But who knew? Who knew? Watermelons had that power.
Yeah, I guess, man, you know, whatever works, you know, if you got to smash cantaloupes next week or bananas or any other type of fruit, like how far down the line do you go?
I don't know.
You go to like Legos next or something? I mean, what's after fruit and vegetables?
I mean, I think, like I said before, like go to the science museum and put like some explosives in some fruit and blow some stuff up, blow a fridge up or something like that. Like one of the more popular things on YouTube is people just like slow motion, you know, chopping a watermelon in half with a sword. Like, that's kind of cool. Like, I might have been more inspired if he took out a sword and then, like, we got slow motion caps and maybe he had some strobe lights. And
so
the
they
light,
should do all, like eighth grade science projects? Is that what? So the you next know, one is model rockets. Like, you know, this is us ascending to beating this opponent.
And then
it and the model rocket goes way up. But
the
but
week
it
after,
Zeke get the 100 yards written on it, so it's fine.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the week after, they just bring in like trays of frogs and like, we're going to dissect this other defense and we're going to take them apart and we're going to take them out from the inside. And just like,
yeah,
Andy Dalton just
take out their liver. And at the very end, you're going to say, I don't know why I keep going to Al Pacino, imagining Mike McCarthy doing this. But the last one is removing the heart, right? Yeah. And then we're go for 400 yards and remove their heart.
they're like, Zeke, that is not the liver. That is their lung. It's like, whatever, man. Yeah, like I kind of think like eighth grade experiments might be like a really good place to go with that. Just you get like 16 experiments. Everybody kind of like gets back to their basics and the core, and then you find like a little analogy to go with each one of them. We're dissecting the defense. We're ascending to the top.
If we get to the playoffs, we're going to start doing wood shop inspirations. So
I remember my science teacher.
Here we go. Everybody's going to carve model cards. It's the pine wood derby kit. Let's
I remember
go.
My science teacher in like sixth or seventh grade. He hated me, by the way, because I like didn't code in class a lot. Like they had one of those meetings where they're like, listen, you're not going to like do stuff in life. But I remember one of his classes, I don't even know if this is embarrassing or ridiculous or not, but he took us out to the parking lot and he changed his tire and he showed us, like, his point was to like teach us how to change a tire to give us like applicable things.
No, that's not his point at all. The point is he rolled into work with a flat and knew he needed to change it.
I think
it.
That might have been he took the entire class out. And you were at the same school and it was this dude and he was this guy. He always was
Myers. Wasn't Myers, was it?
I think it might have been. He was always smoking and drinking and stuff. And
no, that was not Myers.
But he was a science teacher and it was literally the entire class out in the parking lot. We're just standing there and he's just changing his tire. And I was like, this is a great science.
How really? Hungover was he?
I don't know, but I'm thinking this is like Mike McCarthy. He's going to be like, fellas, we all got a lot of money. We got to get back to basics. We are going to change this offensive scheme. Like I'm going to change
so
these
it's
tires.
Probably just all of the fruits and vegetables his wife was sending to the team cooks. Like, make sure he's eating the fruit. And he's like, we're not going to eat this fruit. We're going to have McDonald's. So what can we do with this fruit? Tell my wife I did use it today.
I want to do an entire series of eighth grade motivational football moments. Like everything you do, by the way, you can create some analogy. We are going to change the culture as I take off this lug nut and I change his tire.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to. The thread is getting too bare. We're going to change the tread on these tires.
We are going to loosen out these nuts in this locker room. And we are going to fill the air of this room up.
We're going to switch the brake pads on this team. And we're going to give this team an oil change. Coach, why is practice at your house? We're going to renovate this bathroom to prove to you guys you can change whenever you want. You know? Why are we changing your garage door? We're going to change up this garage door to prove to you that you can do it.
Coach,
you
why, are we, paint, why are we painting your garage? Because we all need a fresh coat of paint in our lives. He's just getting household items. The offensive line is getting groceries. Today, the offensive line is getting groceries. The cornerbacks.
Why are we at Home Depot? You got to make sure you have all the tools in your tool shed if you want to win.
Cornerbacks come in. Coach.
All the DeWalt accessories.
Coach, the laundry's done. That's about as good as the Cowboys are worth right now anyway.
Oh, my God. Coach, your laundry's done. That's right. And to finish the job completely, you got to make sure you fold them.
We're not going to fold, but those shirts are. Oh, boy. All right. Well, we got to recruit. My face hurts. It hurts so bad. Mike McCarthy might be the best or worst coach in the NFL after Adam Gase, of course. We're not going to get silly here, but. God. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Mike McCarthy, for doing that. I'm very excited for the next trip to Lowe's. It's going to be a great time on how they can be better.
Just think of that, though. It's going to be inspirational the next time you need to go to Lowe's or change a tire or any of that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm telling you, it's a series that we should really start. We should jump on it and just do a whole bunch of them. All right, we got to go to break. We successfully did that for 12 minutes. When we come back, we got a whole bunch more. There's the Burrow stuff out there. There's a lot of baseball things floating around as well. So a whole bunch to get to, plus the Rockets. Don't go anywhere. In the league's coming back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Can't believe what fell. All your dreams just hops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
Welcome back, friends. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid, the Mightier 1090. All the places, all the things. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with Bogman and the Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. I am Chris Welsh. And you can find us over on the patreon.com/ITL Army. And we had to recoup ourselves after that that entire segment and the break and just everything that went on with it. It was that was a fun time. That would be one I would go back and listen to. Quick note on the football, because hour two is going to be pretty heavy football, getting back into the DFS on the main slate, and of course the gambling picks. The Joe Burrow stuff, like we learned, it's super, super ugly that he tore his ACL, but then we found out he tore his MCL and has other structural damage.
PCL damage? Yeah, he's going to have knee reconstruction surgery.
I mean, the dude was like, hey, I'll be back, blah, 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 see you next year. But, I mean, is he coming back next year?
They said that the diagnosis for knee reconstruction surgery,
Sound like Lou Holtz there for a minute. You turn into Lou Holtz.
Knee reconstruction surgery is 9 to 12 months. So best case scenario, like about a month into the season. Worst case scenario, he misses the majority of next season.
Is that
so,
is the best case? He can't. Is there not a scenario? No, I mean, there's got to be a scenario on 9 months that he can come back, dude. If they don't start until September, that's the ninth
yeah. But I
month.
Mean, he needs training camp. He needs, and that's you know,
there's a
I mean,
chance
what,
he could be back at the start of the year.
Like, what is complete? Like a complete, child. And you're ready to play football, or complete, you can walk. You know what I mean? Like, what do they mean? Like 9 to 12 months as far as recovery.
I think that's probably it's probably like the return. But to your point, though, you know, if it's 9 months, then he could be back for the season. If it's closer to the 12 months, you probably want to approach this with Joe Burrow that he's probably going to miss the first month of the year next year.
At least.
If not the whole thing.
And if the Bengals, you know, why even play him next year? Like, especially if he can't start at the very beginning of the year. I mean, you know, they gave Ryan Finley a chance last year and wound up going back to Andy Dalton. So that's kind of where Ryan Finley stands. He's not fantastic. So that's already as far as he goes. So.
Here would be one part of it. Like, part of the question in my mind would be, how much does a team, like let's say for an instance that Joe Burrow is questionable to start, like he's not going to start the first month, and then the next four games are a little bit in question. You just say, well, at that point, why not just let him get completely healthy and come back the next year? It's because you also have young assets that, like, how long are you going to have all these guys? How long are you going to have Tyler Boyd? How long are you going to have T. Higgins? You know, can you afford to just have a lost year? So it would be one of two things. You I don't want to say rush him back, but you get him back. Or do you try to hit the free agent market on a one-year deal on somebody? You know, on a veteran quarterback out there that's got all these good young pieces. I'm not sure. And that division has been pretty
competitive. Philip Rivers playing for the Bengals next year, something like that. I mean, didn't he sign just a one-year deal with the Colts? Yeah, or Brissett. Like, Brissett wouldn't be bad if they let Brissett walk. So
yeah, I was thinking more like more veteran-y.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I mean,
why not?
Yeah, maybe.
Been on the Bengals before, right? So
that might be the one. Has he really? I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure he has. I mean, he's played for most teams.
I mean, God knows. I would believe you, by the way. Like, you say that, and it's like, oh, okay, I believe you.
But I'm pretty sure he has been. Let's see. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Let's see. Ryan Pro Football Reference. Okay, so here are the teams that Fitzpatrick has played for. St. Louis, yes, Cincinnati in 2007 and 2008. Buffalo from 2009 to 2012, Tennessee in 2013, Houston in 2014, the Jets in 2015 and 16, Tampa Bay from 17 to 18, and Miami for 19 and 20. So he has been in Cincinnati. So he probably knows a real estate agent and everything there.
Probably. I was in my brain, I was thinking like a little bit of a better, but you know what? That might be the perfect thing where Cincinnati, like, it's not a big investment. You know, you get all your other pieces. Fitzpatrick is fine, you know. I mean, he's usually good for the first 4 weeks, and then he kind of tapers off a little bit. But, yeah, that's something along those lines, because there's a legitimate chance that we're not going to see Burrow next year with all of that.
What about
– that's serious, serious leg stuff.
Dynasty leagues. Are you hanging on to him? I mean, a quarterback is a tough position to sit on for a whole year.
Well, Dynasty is you hold all the players. If it was a keeper league – no, if I had him, I'd be
How about
willing...
Superflex Keeper League, where you can only keep five guys?
No, I'd dump them.
You dump him? Okay. Yeah. I think I'm with you because it's just too hard to hold on to a guy because not only are you holding on to this guy, you're dumping someone else for him, and you don't know. I mean, you assume a guy with the talent of Joe Burrow is going to be the same when he comes back. But knee reconstruction surgery Lou Holtz again, reconstructive surgery. That's some serious stuff, man. And if he doesn't have the mobility, if he can't move around in the pocket like he used to, that's a big part of his game. The nice thing is by the time he gets back, if he does miss all of next year, they should have two first-round offensive linemen. If they're picking third, they're going to take Penei Sewell, who is I don't want to say generational offensive lineman because I don't know if he's that good, but he's the best one that's been coming out for a while.
It's funny that you said that because I was thinking, well, all they're going to do in the 2021 draft is take seven offensive linemen. You just take everybody to protect him.
Yeah, they really should because they have the weapons. They have running backs. They have wideouts. I mean, they need a lot of pieces on defense as well, but that's your number one investment, specifically when something like this happens in year one of this guy's career. You know, you have to go get players to protect him. So, I mean, it can happen to anybody at any time. You know, it's not like guys are doing this stuff on purpose, but this has happened to Bengals quarterbacks a bunch. Remember when it happened to Carson Palmer in the playoffs against the Steelers?
Yeah, but he never came back right, though. He was never that.
Well, he was also closer to the end of his career than he was at the beginning, but it's just, it sucks, man. And it's happened to Brady before, which is why you're not allowed to hit quarterbacks in the legs anymore, is because Brady went out for a whole year and the NFL missed him. So, hopefully Burrow will get right. I almost called him Mango because a commercial came up.
What?
This Bud Light Seltzer commercial was showing all the different types of Bud Light Seltzer you can have, and Mango in big letters flash across my TV.
Show
and
Mango.
I almost said Joe Mango instead of Joe Burrow. I swear to God. So
that would be his Ron Mexico name. Joe Mango.
Jeff Mango. That's his Ron Mexico right there. Oh,
yeah. Let's, you know what? Now, okay, Bogman, we take that moment. Now we get the Madden game and we do a career of Joe Mango, a quarterback Joe Mango, and see how he does.
Joe Mango. Oh my God. He has to look exactly like Joe Burrow, but with a mustache.
I think, I think I agree with you. Do the same. Yeah, exactly like him, but just a big mustache. 100%. Inverse his number. Wasn't Burrow like 9 to make him 6?
So he'll be 6. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Nice. Very nice. Little pivot here over to baseball, just because hour 2 is going to be pretty football, exclusively football centric here. And we've only got a short segment coming up after this. But a couple notes around MLB that I wanted to get to. Braves signed a 1-year deal, $15 million with Charlie Morton, which was surprising because he wanted to return to the Rays even at a reduced price. And the Rays were like, nah, dog, we're good. And they were not having it. And that's a pretty good move, him returning back to his original team. It just, the Braves are already a problem. And I think the thing they needed to shore up the most was a rotation. And this is part of that help, Boggs.
Yeah. I mean, I really like this signing for them to get Morton, but what are the Rays doing not re-signing him at a cheaper deal and talking about trading Snell?
That's another one. Yeah, it is very curious what
they're doing. Just in the World Series.
Yeah,
that band back together.
Mark Feinstein reports that the Rays have, quote, told other clubs that they're open to the idea of trading Blake Snell. And I wonder what that is about. I mean, they don't like to spend money, so that's obvious. He's gonna have $10.5 million owed in 2021, 12 in 2022, and 16 in 2023, part of an extension that he signed. So, they hate to spend money. They're the most frugal of all frugal teams, so that would be part of it. But to your point, it's like, why, when you just went as far as you did behind this team that you had, why would you dismantle it where you are?
If there's any team that needs to use this momentum to springboard into having fans, at the stadium, I mean, it's Florida, so they're going to allow people in next year. We know that, it's the Rays. Rays have had terrible problems getting people in there. You were just in the World Series. use this to your advantage. Don't tear it down.
I don't know
it's
if Snell
completely
is
completely idiotic to me.
Yeah, but I'm not sure Snell ingratiated himself with a lot of people with his whole, like, I got to get paid, man, and all his,
yeah,
you know, that
true.
Stuff he was doing.
Is eye rolling when Cash pulled him too.
But
yeah,
you think about this.
I get it. But
think about this. This is a team that likes to use openers. They like to use, from Fairbanks to Nick Anderson to Diego Castillo, you know, just building a crazy bullpen. They've still got a couple arms and they got, you know, a couple on the way. And you could take Blake Snell. You could move him off to, just argument's sake here, you could probably easily move him to a team like Atlanta, get a guy like Kyle Wright who could kind of fit his role, plus some prospects and some other cheap options, maybe spend some of that money on a bullpen, and they probably don't miss a beat. They don't miss a beat, and then they don't have to pay the $12 million, and they could probably pick up 2 to 3 different pieces wherever they go, one of those being a major league-ready pitcher. So it's just... They're the Mandalorians of baseball. Just this.
Agree with you that Charlie Morton leaving, they can pick him up and not miss a beat. You know what I mean? They can do something for him. But you can't lose 2/5 of that rotation in Morton and Snell.
2/3, Boggs, if you really think about it. Like, how many guys really went deep in that rotation? It's like Snell, Glasnow, and Charlie Morton. And the theoretical conversation is like 2/3 of that would be gone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's very, very true. So... even more sense to why are you tearing this down when something is finally working for you? I mean, you know, the rumors of this team getting moved to Montreal or like splitting with Montreal and all that stuff. I mean, after COVID, no, I mean, what, what state is going to approve to pay for a stadium? None of them are, you know what I mean? So
no. I mean, they'd be more likely to have a Zoom stadium, you know? It'll just be like you know, a little local college field with a bunch of cameras for people to
zoom
in.
It'll be a little
on.
League field with a bunch of cameras around it. That's what it would be.
There's it's interesting because, you know, so many teams are trying to get out from any contract they can because they're scared of money and, you know, guys are getting waived and, you know, moving off from arbitrational guys and, you know, players like Brad Hand weren't being picked up. But teams are also just trying to shed salary wherever they can. The Reds are also rumored, even after losing, they're going to lose Trevor Bauer, that they are open to moving. Ken Rosenthal reported that the Reds are open to moving Sonny Gray. And the market only has so much money to spend. And one of those guys, he's not a pitcher, but I'm very excited about, who just got posted from the Kiwoom Heroes in the KBO, was Ha-Sung Kim, who was posted on Wednesday. And he's a monster. 25-year-old shortstop, hit 28 homers, had 21 stolen bases this past year, hit .310. He is going to be a coveted and sought-after prospect and just player that everybody's going to want to have on their team. And that's where the money's going. The money's going to the top-end free agents, the Springers, the Bowers, and then a place like this where Kim has long-term standing value. And then teams are just going to hope to get involved in the trade market where they can. They can shed salary to add salary. And the Rays are teams that kind of lead the pack on that. And that's why we might see Blake Snell moving on. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, finishing up hour one, hour two, it's all pick-ems and DFS. So don't go anywhere. More in this league right around the corner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face?
Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my
In This League.
In This League, we're back. It's Chris Wells, Scott Bogman. That is us. Thank you guys for tuning in as we are simmering down here into the end of hour one. We're talking about just a few of the baseball things and notes out there and just kind of the oddity of Blake Snell. You know, there's not that many, like, stud guys that become available on the trade market. And, you know, rumors are rumors. You know, Sonny Gray, guy like Blake Snell's a young, controllable asset that would take a lot of prospects. And I think that's why the Rays would be interested in it, because of the haul that they can get. You know, it's one thing when a Lindor gets traded on a one-year deal. It's another thing when there's 3 years of a controllable young pitcher who's still in his prime, who just wants to get his, man. But
What do you think?
I gotta get mine.
If you had to take a guess on a team that would be aggressive in wanting to acquire Blake Snell, what would you put your money on?
The Angels. I think the Angels always need pitching.
They always make sense. Yeah.
That's a pretty big one.
Not sure what all they would trade. I mean, Brandon Marsh might be a prospect that they could headline with, maybe another young guy. I mean, maybe they trade a Griffin Canning. I'm not sure that they would do that. Griffin Canning and Brandon Marsh might get that done, and that's some controllable assets. Okay, so I buy that.
White Sox
would. Yeah, I wonder how much they'd want to trade in the AL in general just to get him out of there. But White Sox have got some prospects as well. I see that. I mean,
Philly.
Yeah, Philly might want to be the most aggressive. Boggs.
Yeah, I mean, Philly. They need pitching. Also, I know that it's been a lot of these guys have been coming up, but what about San Diego?
See, that's what. You took the one I was just going to go with. Is I wonder if San Diego loves to make trades. They love to be aggressive. They've lost Clevinger for a year due to Tommy John, so they're going to go into next year with Paddock, Lamet. And then you've got like Richards, Davies, and then, you know, maybe Gore fills it or something like that. But that's still not the best place to go. They've still got the prospects. And if they wanted to unload, I mean, they've traded before, by the way. They traded Xavier Edwards, the Padres did to the Rays. Familiarity, they've got the pieces. They might be willing to come off as some of those top young prospects. I think San Diego makes all the sense in the world. And that's the one I would go with. I think you're dead on with that. All right, don't go anywhere. Hour one done. Hour two coming up. We've got week 12 DFS, week 12 picks. And of course, we got to touch just for a minute at least on DeMarcus Cousins to the Rockets. So don't go anywhere. Hour two of In This League coming up.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.